Welcome to the Gut Health Turnaround Series, 21 ways to heal your gut, reclaim your energy, and look and feel amazing. My name is Leah Klein, Health and Wholeness Coach, and I will be your host. Today I'm being joined by Christine Bailey. Welcome.
Welcome. It's lovely to be here, Leah.
All right, and she's going to be talking about the 5 R's of healing digestion. Christine is an award-winning nutritional therapist, chef, author, and broadcaster with over 18 years of experience. With a passion for creating delicious, nourishing recipes, Christine has a reputation for transforming people's health and love of real food. Working in food, health, and fitness sector, Christine is much sought after due to her in-depth nutritional and food expertise. Christine knows herself the power of food in our health. She had a life-changing operation at the age of 26 when she was 28 weeks pregnant with her first child. Christine was diagnosed with colitic. Am I saying that right?
It's actually celiac disease.
Okay. And restored her health by adopting dietary changes and designing her own gut health healing program, which is why she wrote her latest book, Gut Health Diet Book. In addition, one of her sons was diagnosed with a rare autoimmune condition at age 2. Simply by making dietary changes to his diet, his symptoms had been completely resolved. Christine's work is extensive, and she runs busy nutritional clinics in London's Harley Street and Reading, Berkshire, England, obviously. So, all right, to get us started, why don't you start giving us a little more detail on, you know, how you got started in this? Were you interested in nutrition prior to that gut problem?
Yes, that's a very good question. Well, hello, everyone. Yes, I was interested in nutrition, and I was actually, funnily enough, a food and health writer. Very interesting. And at, I had a very healthy pregnancy with my first son. I was doing really well. Lovely and fit. And then it was actually around New Year's Eve, ironically, that I started to get in a lot of pains, and I got rushed into hospital with totally unexplained fever and pain. All the people at the hospital just thought I was going into labor. I was shouting at them saying, it's not labor, it's something to do with my bowel. And they actually discovered that I had a gangrenous bowel, that half of it had twisted on itself. They feel that that was probably a genetic thing. And without immediate surgery, I would not be alive today. So as a result, because I was actually 28 weeks pregnant, they had to deliver my son, who he's now 16, so he's really fit and healthy. We had 2 or 3 months of intensive care with him, nurturing him back to health, nurturing myself back to health. And, you know, during that process of recovery, I ended up restudying a couple of degrees in nutrition. I've been trained in functional medicine, so with the IFM. And as a result, as well as my chef training, that has really enabled me to focus my support for people in nutritional clients and in my cookery days and my numerous books on really helping people get to the underlying issues, particularly in their digestive health, because as you know, Leah, there's a lot of wonderful experts on this summit, and what a lot of people are talking about is what happens in the gut doesn't actually stay in the gut. Mm-hmm. The health of your gut affects the whole body systems. Every part of you can be affected if there are imbalances in the gut. But the great news is that if you can correct those underlying imbalances, you can restore your health and vitality. And that's what I'm experiencing it with all my clients and obviously through my own health journey as well.
Mm-hmm. So was the was when you had the operation kind of the first experience starting to learn about gut health?
Yeah, I think it was. I mean, I think with a lot of medics, you know, when you've actually gone through something yourself and experienced real intense pain, I mean, to the point mm-hmm. that a lot of people probably relate to that, you didn't want to go out to eat because you knew that everything would affect you. You didn't want to travel very far because you didn't know if you needed to rush to the toilet. And, you know, now, of course, I'm seeing clients that have those issues as well. And whether the medical practice wants to call it IBS, whatever it is, it needs to be resolved because it can be very life-limiting.
Yes, yes, definitely. And I wrote a travel book, actually, about, you know, traveling with IBS. So I definitely and
you know
other
what I'm talking about then, yeah.
Yes, I know related to that, that there's a lot involved and stuff. And, you know, for myself, I like to, you know, kind of, if I can, plan where I'm eating in advance and check out the menu.
And it might seem a bit strange, but even, I don't say even, but, you know, obviously I'm a celiac, and a couple of my other children, they follow more of a paleo style of eating to help with their autoimmune and their gut healing. And it's not easy always eating out, you know, even, you know, particularly if you're with children and you're traveling and you're flying, you know, often, you know, half my suitcase is foods just because I want to make sure that there's something that I can eat and that's safe.
Yeah, yeah, I know the experience. So let's go ahead and get into what are the five R's that we alluded to in the title for healing your gut. And this is coming from the book you just finished writing, right?
That's right, that's right. So my latest book, I've written, I think it's around about 13 books now. Some of them are online, so they're e-books. Other ones are hardback. And this is another hardback one that's coming out early next year. And it's called The Gut Health Diet. And it really was the book that I've been longing to write for ages, I'll be honest with you, because it really is very much summarizing how do you yourself, as an individual, personalize, because there's so many diets out there, you know, which one's right for me in terms of my gut? There's so many different gut diet books out there, but this one is very much looking at how can we identify the underlying triggers that is relevant to me and what steps can I take to restore my gut health? And this is really taking people through what we call in functional nutrition the five R's. And it's then utilizing foods and supplements, but mainly, you know, diet changes in order to correct those imbalances and just get your health back to where it should be. So the five R's, and this is very much something that is used a lot in what we call functional medicine or functional nutrition, whatever you want to call it, but it's something that we use a lot. We do it in sort of five stages. The first one is remove, the next one is replace, and then we have re-inoculate, and then repair, and then rebalance. And those are, and obviously we'll talk about those in detail now, but those are the five R's.
All right. And why is it so important to start with the remove?
That's a very, very good question, actually, because what we know with remove is referring to the elimination of any factor that is aggravating the gut or contributing to your signs and symptoms. So it could be foods that you are either allergic to, intolerant, sensitive. So we look at the foods, and we can do that through lab testing and challenge and elimination and so on. But it also includes pathogenic microflora, so it could include bacteria that shouldn't be there, parasites, fungi, candida. It could also include environmental stresses like pollutants, toxins that we're bombarded with daily, and that could be external toxins or even endotoxins. Those are toxins that are produced by potentially harmful bacteria in our gut. But it can also include stress, remove stress, because stress can not only change the balance of our microflora, the beneficial bacteria, but it can also lead to intestinal permeability or leaky gut, as we call it. Now, if you don't remove those triggers, you can do whatever you like. You can throw all the supplements you like at your gut, but it's not going to heal, and you're never going to rectify proper digestion because you've still got those aggravating factors constantly bombarding and damaging your gut. So you really do need to remove, and it could be that you've got a number of those that need to be removed, but you need to get those out because you can't start putting in a gut healing diet if those aggravating factors are still damaging your gut.
Mm-hmm.
So we might, for example, look at, you know, going on a sort of, you know, elimination diet, or we may call it a sort of modified paleo diet or a low FODMAP diet, depending on what particular microflora are aggravating you. We may also add in antimicrobials, certain herbs, to tackle yeast overgrowth or bacteria or parasites. And we may actually do lab testing to, you know, really find out what's going on. You know, there's some really good comprehensive stool testing out there. There's food allergen tests that we can do to really identify what the individual really needs to address.
All right. And in replacing, what is it that you're replacing?
And again, that's a good question, you know. But particularly as we get older, we often find that the normal digestive secretions that we should be producing every day whenever we eat food start to diminish or decline. Mm-hmm. And replace is really referring to the replacement of any factor that the gut really needs to function appropriately. And it may be that they're just not enough, so they're inadequate or they're totally lacking. And I'm thinking of, in particular, things like hydrochloric acid. You know, when we start eating and we start chewing our food or mastication or whatever you want to call it, we start stimulating signals to our stomach and our pancreas to produce stomach acid, hydrochloric acid, and also pancreatic enzymes. And we also will start to produce what's called bile salts. So our bile is really important for emulsifying fat in our diet. And if we don't have enough of these what we call digestive factors, you will often feel that you're not breaking food down, that you feel very heavy after eating, you know, a sort of sense of fullness, even if you haven't eaten very much. And stomach acid is there for a reason. It's there because it's one of our most effective antimicrobial defenses. It kills pathogens. You know, whenever we eat things from the outside in, we're sort of bombarding our gut with, you know, bacteria, with yeast, with potential parasites that need to be killed. And that's what stomach acid is for. Stomach acid is good. Everyone sort of thinks that, you know, when we get a bit of reflux or whatever, oh, we must have too much acid. Actually, as we get older, we often find that the amount of stomach acid is not sufficient. And we need that stomach acid to help break down proteins, absorb nutrients, things like B12, for example. Really important that we have sufficient stomach acid for that. So often it's people don't have enough of these, and therefore they need replacing, and we can do that through food and also supplements if necessary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how do you recommend re-inoculating, and what is it?
Yeah. So re-inoculating is the next stage, and that's really reintroducing what we call desirable microflora. So that's our beneficial bacteria, but also what we call prebiotics. Now, prebiotics are fibers, really, soluble fibers. Some you can purchase as supplements like inulin or fructooligosaccharides, which is FOS. But they are naturally found in a lot of foods. And they're there to feed the beneficial bacteria. So it's no point us, you know, taking loads of supplements of probiotics or drinks or whatever we're doing, and then we don't give them any food to feed on because it will just be transient. So long term, what we're looking to do is re-inoculate our gut with probiotics, but also give them some food to actually feed on. And that is why I'm a massive fan of people making their own fermented foods, because fermented foods are just what they say. They are foods that are rich in beneficial bacteria that we really have got out of the habit in our modern Western world of eating on a daily basis. You know, fermented foods were part of many, many cultures and were a traditional food that was consumed on a daily basis. Children, adults, didn't matter what age, they would consume that. And that was giving your gut a regular intake of a whole spectrum of beneficial bacteria, lactobacilli, bifidus bacteria, even things like saccharomyces. You know, all of these are really important for our immune system, because 75% at least of our immune system is actually in the gut, and also helping protect our gut from damage and also from harmful pathogens. So, you know, fermented foods, if you've never tried making your own fermented foods, you know, there's lots of free recipes on my website, and obviously the free recipe handbook that we're offering as part of this summit will have a lot of great recipes in there on fermented foods. But they include things like sauerkraut, kimchi, which is a sort of quite a spicy Korean fermented product made with Chinese cabbage and chilies and onions and garlic. Then there's also what we call kefir, and you can have milk kefir or coconut kefir, water kefir, obviously yogurt, a lot of people are very familiar with, kombucha, which is a wonderful drink, which is normally sort of infused with green tea. And, you know, you can ferment any vegetable, really, and re-inoculate it with beneficial bacteria. But those are some of the most popular ones that are regularly consumed. And, you know, I know that here in the UK and in the US, there's lots of companies coming out now creating some really lovely fermented food products.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like that probably the kind of the purpose that they had served originally was preservation of food.
Well, absolutely.
We didn't have refrigeration or anything like that. It was they weren't thinking of it in terms of beneficial bacteria.
Not at all. Not at all.
You know, from going south.
Exactly. It was just a natural way of, you know, utilizing an abundance of food in the different seasons and storing that and keeping it so that you could eat it throughout the years or throughout the seasons when you know, we may not have so much of abundance of certain vegetables and products and so on. So you're quite right. They didn't do it thinking, oh, this is great for my gut.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, we've lost some of these traditional foods. And, you know, another one which we use a lot in our cookery days is, of course, bone broth, which, you know, probably our grandparents would do all the time just to make use of old bones and carcasses. And now we're learning about the benefits of bone broth for the gut as well.
Well, and the main time that growing up that, you know, we made something, it was kind of bone broth, was, you know, after Thanksgiving. We'd take the carcass, throw it in a big pot, and cook it for a long time. You know?
Right. Right,
but
now
that
we know.
Was bone broth.
Yeah, but of course now we know how important that is for the next stage, which is the repair. And the repair stage of the five R's refers to really providing nutrients to help regenerate and repair the gut mucosa. So, you know, you'll be talking a lot about leaky gut. And the role that intestinal permeability and leaky gut has on numerous health issues, from autoimmune diseases to general inflammation in the body to allergies, you know, to even problems with thinking in the brain, you know, and repairing the gut really is absolutely a crucial element to any gut restoration program. Whatever your gut issues, it is likely you are going to have to spend time adding foods adding nutrients, adding supplements that are healing the gut. And bone broth, my goodness, it's full of nutrients that are really important for the gut and such an easy thing to do. You know, when we're talking about sort of gut health generally, you know, we always encourage our clients to be making up bone broth on a daily basis if they can, because it's so full of things like collagen. Collagen is a wonderful protein for really healing the gut. It's anti-inflammatory as well. Bone broth also contains a whole range of free amino acids, which are easily absorbed by the body. It contains glycine. It contains proline. These are really important for gut healing. And it also contains things like hyaluronic acid and chondroitin, which a lot of people probably have heard of for joint connective tissue health. But equally important for the gut. And it's also full of things like magnesium, potassium, you know, again, nutrients that we know from national surveys people are always very low in. So, you know, bone broth. And, you know, bone broth is so easy. It's not complicated. If people worry about, well, how do I make it? You just like you said about Thanksgiving, get bones from poultry. It could be turkey, it could be chicken, it could be beef, lamb, whatever you've got. And you cover it with water. I often like to add a little bit of lemon juice or vinegar, a bit of sea salt, Himalayan salt, a bit of pepper. Then you can chuck in whatever you like. You could add some carrots, some onions, celery, you know, leftovers. And then if you want to add some herbs as well, and you just cook it for several hours. I mean, I like basically putting it on all day in a slow cooker, or even a, you know, just a casserole or a pressure cooker, and just cook it for as long as you can, up to 24 hours if you want. And then you remove the bones. If you want to skim off the fat, skim off the fat, and then you can store that delicious stock in the fridge, or you can freeze it in batches, and then just either drink it or add it to homemade soups or stews or casseroles. Wonderful and so, so easy and cheap, because you're really just using your leftovers.
Yeah, and it gives you meals for quite a while sometimes.
Absolutely. And I don't know about in the USA, but in the UK, we actually have organic farm deliveries that will just deliver you organic bones and carcasses. So if you're thinking, oh, I don't want to eat endless turkey or chicken all the time just to get the carcass, you can actually order online organic carcasses so that you can just make up bone broth when you want.
Yeah, well, in a lot of places, you know, where they you know, are doing, you know, the butchering and stuff like that, it's like, you know, they don't necessarily have a use for them.
Absolutely.
And stuff they have, you know, sitting around and stuff, and so they, it's like they, you know, if you had some place local that wasn't, you know, necessarily selling them, you know, thinking about selling them, you can always offer to buy them from them.
Absolutely. And if you can get those lovely sort of marrow bones as well, give them a bit of a bash before you put them in your stock pot, and that way you're really going to, you know, get out all of those really good proteins and collagen, which is really healing for the gut. And then the last one, which actually we encourage people to do all the way through, and that's called rebalance. And rebalance is just what it says. It's to do with our nervous system, our lifestyle, the stress that's affecting us on a daily basis, and really just rebalancing the mind and the body, because we're all too aware of how emotions can have a profound effect on our digestive system. The lining of our gut, it's embedded with the nervous system. And so, you know, there's a direct connection between our gut and our brain. It's often referred to as the gut-brain axis. But we all know that stress in particular can have quite a profound effect, not just on our how we feel and, you know, that sort of feeling in our gut that something's not quite right. But we know from the research that, you know, cortisol, stress hormone cortisol, can influence our digestive secretions, even muscle contractions, you know, so how well the actual bowel moves our food around. It can change our level of beneficial bacteria, and it can actually promote leaky gut. So just stress in itself could cause intestinal permeability. So that's why it's really important to take steps. And we encourage people to do this all the way through any program of gut restoration, you know, to think about mind-body therapies, you know, whether it's meditation, hypnotherapy, biofeedback, cognitive behavior, taking time out for relaxation, engaging in activities like, you know, yoga, abdominal breathing, mindfulness, mindful eating, you know, just sitting down and taking time to chew your food and to, you know, have gratitude for the food that you're eating, again, can have profound effect on our ability to start that whole digestive secretion process. And of course, the other thing, which is just as important that we often neglect, is getting enough sleep. You know, melatonin, our sleep hormone, seems to now play a role in gut permeability and restoring gut health, and also, you know, as a powerful antioxidant, can actually lower inflammation, which can often be associated with gut problems and IBS symptoms. So, you know, think about how stress is affecting your own body. And, you know, there's loads of wonderful adaptogenic herbs, you know, maca, ashwagandha, green tea. Green tea contains theanine, which helps to allow our body to focus and concentrate and calm the mind. It helps with the production of GABA, which is a neurotransmitter known for its anti-anxiety effects. And there's other calming teas as well, you know, chamomile, hops, lemon balm. So if you get yourself quite worked up, or you suffer with anxiety and you can't unwind at night, you know, and things like magnesium. You know, magnesium is a really good calming mineral. And so if you're someone that finds it hard to sleep or suffers with insomnia or gets themselves worked up, you know, think about magnesium-rich foods, dark green leafy veg, nuts and seeds, you know, brown rice, avocado, bananas, raw cacao, you know, chocolate actually is quite a good source of magnesium. And so we encourage people to start rebalancing their lifestyle and their mind and their stress responses all the way through the program, because we know that that can have such a profound effect on all elements of our digestive system.
Yeah, well, and it makes sense that when we're in a state of stress that our digestive system is not our body's priority at that moment.
It's
sending, you know, stuff to the muscles. It's saying, okay, are we running? Are we getting away from something? Food is the farthest thing from its plate at that moment. So
that is absolutely right. It's not an essential part. And so the whole digestive secretions will start to shut down.
And then we are in a such a constant state of stress that we don't get out of it enough to, you know, let our body recuperate, which it's obviously not designed to be in fight or flight 100% of the time.
And I think, you know, the majority of us, you know, it's 24/7 all the time. We're not giving our bodies or even our digestive system much of a break. And, you know, in some respects, you know, when we do starting to restore things like our digestive secretions, it can have a knock-on effect as well to, of course, how we feel. Because of this gut-brain axis, when our gut starts almost behaving and working better for us, we feel better, you know. And so it's a sort of joint system, and that's why they feel now that, you know, administrating things like probiotic supplements can actually change our mood, can actually help in our anxiety as well. So it can have, you know, a double benefit that by, you know, taking time to restore beneficial bacteria in our gut, the secretions in our gut, can also help us feel better as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and is there something we can do if, for the few of us maybe that don't have digestive issues or don't think we do, that we can do to actually prevent this damage from happening?
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. I mean, the first thing is, you know, when we're looking at supporting our whole digestive system, regardless of whether we actually have symptoms now, think about key foods that can actually stimulate or what we call kickstart your digestion, you know, before any meal. And that's things that can actually stimulate the production of pancreatic enzymes or enzymes that help break our food down. So things like including fresh pineapple, particularly the core, papaya, adding some lemon or lime juice or vinegar to a meal can actually stimulate digestive secretions. And that's why often you'll find that nutritionists and medics will often say, you know, before you eat, why not try drinking a glass of warm water with a little bit of lemon juice added? Traditionally, Swedish bitters were used, you know, bitter gentian and things like that to stimulate your digestion. Or just incorporating naturally bitter foods before or with a meal. So what I mean by that are things like rocket, watercress, spinach, chicory, dandelion leaves, those sort of dark, quite bitter green leaves. Having literally just a side salad of those with a meal can actually be quite helpful. And then going back to things like we mentioned about the sauerkraut and kimchi or homemade pickles, you know, those, because of their sort of acidity, can also stimulate the digestive secretion. So just adding a tablespoon of sauerkraut with your meat or your fish can actually, again, help with that digestion. And then if you are someone who thinks, you know what, when I eat fatty food, it sort of doesn't seem to agree with me, then you might want to add a few natural foods that support the gallbladder and bile flow. So I'm thinking things like beetroot or beets, radish or daikon, horseradish, wasabi. Those are, again, foods that are known to stimulate bile flow. And you can use those either as a side dish or as an accompaniment or in a sauce. And those are really useful when, particularly when you're eating more fatty foods. Those can be very, very useful. Some people like to, you know, have a beet juice, for example, or a dark green leafy green juice, you know, with some lemon and ginger in that as well, to really sort of stimulate your digestive secretions. So that's one area where I think that regardless of any symptoms, I think that can be incredibly beneficial, because if you are naturally supporting the breakdown of the food that you're eating, you're less likely to start experiencing problems and less likely to start having, you know, damage done to the gut. I mean, we are also very big advocates of eliminating key food antigens. So we know gluten is so damaging generally for the gut. You know, it can stimulate the release of zonulin and encourage leaky gut and damage also to the enterites, those cells, the epithelial cells. And you don't have to be celiac to have a problem with gluten. I am a celiac, and so I do avoid gluten, but I regularly test people for gluten sensitivity. And they don't have to be celiac to have a problem. They're still producing antibodies to gluten peptides. And also gluten can have an opioid effect. You know, it can actually affect our brain and, you know, almost make us feel that we crave carbs and gluten. And, you know, simply by taking out some of these key antigens, you know, gluten, for some people, casein, dairy, and other grains, these can all be quite difficult for our body to digest, regardless of whether we have an antibody response to. And just taking some of those grains and carbs out can have quite a beneficial effect, because remember that carbs generally, including gluten, can often be food for potentially harmful bacteria in our gut. And if we're eating a lot of carbs, we're eating a lot of sugar, it's not only inflammatory, but it can actually feed harmful microbes in our gut and cause that dysbiosis and that change in our gut flora.
Mm-hmm. What would you recommend if somebody has trouble handling some of those more acidy type foods, like the vinegar or the lemon? Do you have recommendations for that?
Yeah. So in some cases, the reason for that may actually be that you don't have enough stomach acid. So just think through, you know, is it because I'm not actually producing enough stomach acid? For some people as well, they're low in zinc. Because what we do know is that for optimal digestion, your body actually needs a lot of zinc. Zinc is required for stomach acid. Low zinc status can also be linked to leaky gut. And so I would encourage you to have more zinc-rich foods, so seafood, beef, spinach, pumpkin seeds, raw cacao, sea vegetables. Those are all really useful. But if you do find that, you know, on an empty stomach, things like lemon juice and apple cider vinegar causes you problems, then, you know, first of all, have it always with a meal rather than away from a meal. And do it gradually. So what a lot of people find is that if they introduce a little bit of sauerkraut or a little bit of lemon juice, it's easier to tolerate than, you know, whole glassfuls of it. So do it in stages. Check that you've got enough zinc in your diet as well, because that's really important for those digestive secretions. And a lot of people also find that if they haven't got enough of those sort of secretions, digestive enzymes, then they may need to just start off taking a multi-enzyme formula, a sort of digestive enzyme that can just start helping you break foods down. And you might want to take that with every meal to start with, just to stimulate your natural pancreatic secretions as well. One thing I would say, if you are someone who's worried about your teeth as well, because remember that things like lemon juice and vinegar can actually be quite abrasive to the enamel on your teeth. What some people do is just drizzle a little bit of lemon juice or vinegar into a soup or a stew and eat it like that. Or if they do like to have those sort of drinks, they have it cold and they suck through a straw so that it's not actually coating the enamel on your teeth, because there may be a few dentists listening thinking, oh, that's quite acidic. And they're quite right, you know. It can damage the enamel. So there are other ways of sort of getting those, you know, acidic foods in. But always remember that leafy greens are a really good way of naturally supporting bitters in the diet. And they're probably easier to digest and break down. So maybe have, you know, either a green juice or smoothie, or have a little side salad with your meals to naturally start, you know, supporting those secretions. And the other thing that it might be worth just mentioning, obviously we mentioned about bone broth and how important that is for the gut to heal. But, you know, in my work, we often do utilize a range of gut healing supplements, because, you know, I do a lot of lab tests on people. You can use the Cyrex RE2 to find out about intestinal permeability. And often I do find people have quite a damaged gut. And bone broth on its own is great, but it's probably not going to be enough to really heal and restore that gut. So as well as taking out those aggravating foods and sorting out your pathogens, think about what foods are needed for gut healing and nutrients that are needed. So the key ones that I always like to remind my clients of, and often they take as supplements, are vitamin D, which obviously, as you know, we mainly get through sunlight. So a lot of us are deficient a lot of the year. So you might want to get yourself tested and supplement. But remember, you can get some in oily fish. You can get it in liver. You can get it in eggs. And you can also get it in some of the mushrooms as well. But vitamin D is really crucial for repairing leaky gut and also has an anti-inflammatory role as well. So we know that, you know, people that have low levels of vitamin D are more likely actually to suffer with autoimmune diseases. So get your vitamin D up to a really nice level. I like to get it up to sort of 80 to 100 nanomoles per liter. So vitamin D might be one that you might want to think about supplementation, particularly in the darker months. Vitamin A, really important for the mucosal lining, for your gut lining. And vitamin A, again, it's found in eggs and liver. That comes up a lot in gut healing protocols. But also think about beta-carotene, so those sort of lovely orange fruits and vegetables, you know, your sweet potatoes, your yams, your pumpkins, your squashes, really good at this time of year. And also dark green leafy vegetables are actually a really good source of beta-carotene. And then there's quite a few other supplements that we often use. So I don't know if you've heard of quercetin, but it's an antioxidant. It's a flavonoid, actually. And a lot of people use it for allergies, like an antihistamine, because it has an antihistamine role. It's naturally found in apples and red onions and berries, but often people take it as a supplement to get a really nice high dose. But some of the really key ones are glutamine. Glutamine is a very well-known supplement nutrient that feeds your epithelial cells. They use it as an energy source. And glutamine, available as a powder, very well known for helping with gut healing. Just a word of warning, if you do have candida overgrowth or bacterial overgrowth, sort that out first before you start taking glutamine, because you may end up feeling more bloated, you know, if you have got those microbial infections, because they also feed on glutamine. So you need to get rid of it first before you start taking loads of glutamine powder. And that might be why, you know, if someone has taken it and they feel, gosh, you know, I feel quite bloated and quite windy, it might be that you've actually got a bacterial overgrowth. So get rid of that first before you start taking lots of glutamine powder. And another one that has become a lot more popular, partly because of the good research out, is colostrum, which might seem a funny thing to mention, but colostrum, is, as a lot of you will know, it is milk produced from the grass-fed cows shortly after birthing. And it contains a number of what we call epithelial growth factors, which actually help to restore a leaky gut. It's one of the most effective supplements to help lower inflammation and restore a gut back to health. And you can get colostrum, you know, good quality colostrum powders. They're available. We sell them through our website as well, but there's a lot of good ones out there which are really, really useful for gut lining support. And don't forget, of course, omega-3s, because omega-3s play a key role not only in gut healing, but lowering inflammation. And that's why I love my clients to eat more oily fish, you know, some wild Alaskan salmon on a regular basis. But a lot of people may need to also supplement with omegas as well. And then, of course, you've got the wonderful spices that are great for lowering inflammation and restoring the gut. So I'm thinking particularly turmeric. My goodness, the number of research studies now on turmeric and how important it is, not just for the gut, but for pretty much most body systems, particularly where there's any inflammation. And again, you know, a lot of people like to take turmeric not just in their food, but obviously as a high-dose supplement to really have quite an impact, especially if you feel that you've got an inflammatory bowel condition, you know, like Crohn's or colitis, for example.
Yeah, well, then that's used for inflammation all over the body.
Absolutely. It's so effective.
So what would you suggest as kind of a starting point? What could our listeners do today that would help heal their bodies?
Brilliant question, brilliant question. So I would say the first thing is just think through those five R's and say to yourself, you know, where in those five R's do I need to particularly take my attention to? Is there something I need to remove? Do I need to get some professional help, get some testing? But can I, at this moment now, start looking at my lifestyle, the way I eat? Do I sit down and eat my food slowly and mindfully? Do I eat when I'm hungry, or do I eat just for the sake of it? Do I eat on the go? Do I listen to my body and eat according to my appetite and my needs? So mindful eating, that's one of the first things you could do today. Look at your stress. Is stress having an impact on your own digestion and your health? And what can you do? Can you take some time out? Just go for a walk. Can you do some meditation, some mindfulness, some prayer, some gentle exercise? And then look at, can I start adding a few fermented foods into my diet? You know, whether you buy them or whether you start making them yourself. And, you know, look up my recipe because there's loads free there. Can I start doing things like adding a bit of lemon juice, cider vinegar, to stimulate my digestive secretions? Maybe a bit of, you know, green leafy veg, some zinc-rich foods to stimulate the secretions, and start making, you know, maybe some bone broth and start including that, or some slow-cooked meats which are really tender and healing for the gut. So those are some of the key things that you could do now. And then longer term, start looking at, do I need to remove something? You know, is it that I'm eating gluten or grains or dairy or eggs or something that's harming my gut? Have I got a pathogen? Do I need some testing there? And then what do I need to repair the gut? Do I need to take some really key repair supplements? And also think about cleansing your body as well and cleansing the gut. So do I need to just do some, you know, green juicing? Do I need to take some green superfoods to just cleanse any toxins from my gut that may be making me feel, you know, foggy-headed or, heavy and full and just overloaded with toxins? You know, just some green juicing can be really beneficial, and there's some really good green detoxification-type superfood powders that you could use as well. So those are some good things that you could start doing to your diet and your lifestyle now.
All right. Well, that's a huge amount of great information. You want to go ahead and tell us about the free giveaway you have for our listeners?
Of course, of course. So I've given you some information about, you know, recipes and foods that are really great for healing and restoring your gut. And what I'm offering is a free downloadable PDF of my top 13, 14 favorite recipes, smoothies and juices as well, to really start you on your path to incorporating new healthy foods and recipes into your diet that are tailor-made to help to restore your gut health and your digestion. And we're also on that, we'll be offering some money discounts to some of my new books that are out that you can order. And this is only for people for the summit.
All right. And then if somebody wants to connect with you and learn more about these things, how would they go about doing that?
Yes, and I would love to hear from people. So first of all, my website is very easy. It's www.christinebailey.co.uk, and that will give you all the links to, you know, my videos of recipe demos and so on. And also go on to our Facebook page, which is christinebailey.advancednutrition. And that, again, we post little short how-to videos and latest research and new recipes. And please, you know, contact me, interact with us, because we are sharing lots of very valuable information to really help restore your health.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Christine, for joining me today.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
And thanks to everyone for listening. Come back tomorrow for more of the Gut Health Turnaround series.